శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి హరే కృష్ణ. టుడే ఈజ్ ద అపియరెన్స్ డే ఆఫ్ శ్రీల శ్రీనివాస్ ఆచార్య, శ్రీల మాధవేంద్రపురి ప్రభుపాద్ and also of Shri Shri Radha Raman Ji. Radha Raman Ji, who is Radha Raman? Radha Raman is Krishna. Now you may wonder how come we know that Krishna's appearance day is on Janmashtami. How is that Radha Raman Ji appeared today other than Janmashtami? Actually, there is a very wonderful incident about that. Radharaman was actually a Shaligram Shila of Shila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is one of the principal Goswamis, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, six very intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami hailed from South India when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling after his sannyas. Then during the 4 months of Chaturmash, he stayed in Srirangam. And there he used to stay in different brahmana's house, and most of the time he actually stayed in the house of Venkat Bhatta. And Venkat Bhatta's son was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he came across Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was just a little boy. Very special, very brilliant personality. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami in this way became attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his young days, boyhood. And then later on, when he grew up, he just wanted to commit himself to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he traveled to Vrindavan and he just stayed there. And he was guided by Shri Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to worship Shaligram. He had quite a few Shaligram that he used to carry with him in a bag on his neck. They didn't have bags also. They just made some makeshift bags by tying up a cloth. A cloth, you tie the four ends, then what happens? It becomes like a bag, and so one end you can hang from your neck, and just like this, two ends are hanging, and another two ends if it hangs, then. So he used to carry, they didn't have any place to stay. These Goswamis of Vrindavan, they used to just sleep under trees. That also different days they used to sleep under different trees. And they didn't have any place to stay. They didn't have any permanent residence as such. They were just, and Vrindavan those days, in Vrindavan there was no Loi Bazaar, there was no ISKCON temple, guest house, or other hotels and other. Today Vrindavan is a, practically it's a big grown-up township, overgrown township rather. But those days Vrindavan was just a forest, there was nothing. Very few people were residing in some villages around Vrindavan. And so the Goswamis were there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assigned two very important principles to the Goswami, two important assignments to the Goswami. One is to write scriptures, the Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings had to be established by the Goswamis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them the assignment. Nana Shastra Vichare Naika Nipunau Saddharma Sangsthapako. They consulted all different scriptures. Nana Shastra Vichare Naika Eka Nipunau, with very expertise, they established one Saddharma, the ultimate dharma, ultimate religious principle. And what is that ultimate religious principle? The principle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. So that is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he gave it, but he did not substantiate his teachings by writing. He just gave only 8 verses, Shikshashtaka, but he didn't write anything. So this writing and establishing the principles of his teaching or substantiate according to the scriptural evidence was given to the Goswamis. So they were consulting scriptures and they were writing books and they were establishing Krishna consciousness. And Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami was one of them who actually wrote under the direction of Sanatana Goswami. He wrote books like Haribhakti Vilas, Satkriya Santipika. Haribhakti Vilas is the most important scripture that establishes the supremacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, consulting all different aspects of Vaidhi Bhakti or rituals. All different rituals have been ultimately substantiated or ultimately got its purpose and meaning through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Why we are doing, why we are deity worshipping, why we are worshipping the deity, why we were performing different rituals apparently. They are all because for the sake of developing our love for Krishna. So he was a great scholar, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to worship Shaligram. And the Shaligrams did not have any particular permanent place. He used to just carry them on his neck on a makeshift cloth bag. And so one day Gopal Bhatta Goswami developed an intense desire to decorate the deity, dress the deity. And now you cannot do that to Shaligram. At the most you can paint the eyes and nose and mouth, and we can put a man, at the most you can put a crown. So to dress the deity, to do the shringar, you need the form of the deity. So but Shaligram doesn't have that form. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami developed a desire, oh, it would have been so nice if I could do the shringar of the Lord also. Next morning when he woke up, he found that one of the Shaligram Shilas, Radharaman Shaligram Shila, has manifested his transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha. So this is the deity, Radharaman deity, appeared on this day. On this, about 500 years ago, on a morning like this, he found that his Shaligram has become Krishna. Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyatasya Adyam Purana Purusham Navajovanacha. That is Krishna's transcendental form. Shyamam, the complexion of his body is like the bright monsoon cloud Tribhanga Lalitan, his body is bent in three places. And Lalitan is very, very sublime, very beautiful. Niyata Prakasham, and this form is eternally manifest. So Krishna in this way can manifest his transcendental form, or as Krishna did here, Krishna manifested his transcendental form from a Shaligram Shila to indicate that there is no difference between Shaligram Shila and him. And he can manifest his forms in whichever way he wants or whenever he wants. Like Krishna originally, or most of the deities of Krishna in Vrindavan, the original deities, they were manifested, or you can say carved from the stones by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranatha. And of course, most of those deities were taken away from Vrindavan to Rajasthan, because the Muslim king, they were plundering the temples and breaking the deities. So the kings of Rajasthan rescued the deities before the Muslims could come, and they took them to Rajasthan. That's why many of the temples in Vrindavan, you will see that they are broken. Sanatana Goswami's Madan Mohan temple is broken. Govindaji's temple is broken. The Muslims actually plundered those temples. But they couldn't break them. Like for example, Aurangzeb wanted to break the Govindaji's temple. It had seven stories. And he became so envious that a Hindu temple, as Krishna temple, is so big, so large. So he ordered his army to break that. And they started to break from the top. And as they came to the third floor, there was an earthquake. A tremendous earthquake. And they, out of fear, they just ran away from there. They couldn't break the temple completely. So that's why these temples are still there. But most of the deities have been transported to Rajasthan. Like Sanatana Goswami's deity, Madan Mohan deity, is in Karoli. Govindaji is in Jaipur. And Gopalji's deity that appeared to Madhavendra Puri is in Sri Nathdwara. So in this way, different original deities are mostly now in Rajasthan. One of the deities that original deities of Vrindavan, the Goswamis, worshipped. One of the deities that is still present in Vrindavan is Radharaman, his temple. Not very big, it's a beautiful deity about this big. And he is self-manifest. Other deities have been carved out of stone, but this deity just appeared to Gopalbhattas. So today is the day when Radharaman, he appeared. I mentioned about Gopalji appearing to Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is the spiritual master of Srila Ishwarpuri, who initiated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Madhavendra Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings have been compared to a transcendental creeper, Bhakti Lata. And Bhakti Lata's Pratham Ankur, the seedling, is considered to be Madhavendra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree actually started to develop from Madhavendra Puri. This Prema Bhakti was not prevalent before. Prema Bhakti was not there, manifest in this world. Although Krishna performed his Vrindavan pastimes, but the deeper understanding, the real understanding of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was not known, was not there among the people. Madhavendra Puri was the first one who started to manifest the Prema Bhakti in this planet, in this recent past. Recent past means about 600 years ago. So Madhavendra Puri was a great devotee, and he was a mendicant. He used to just travel from place to place. And he did not even beg for food. Whatever came to him, naturally he would just accept it. He wouldn't go out of his way to ask for food. And Krishna is so kind that he takes care of his devotees under all circumstances. So Madhavendra Puri arrived in Vrindavan. And mind you, this was long before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, Vrindavan was a forest. There was nothing. Mahaprabhu discovered the Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, which were just a paddy field. There was no pond, no lake as such. It was just a paddy field with a little puddle of water in that. But Mahaprabhu recognized that this is, he pointed out that this is Radha Kund and this is Shyam Kund. Shyam Kund and Radha Kund practically disappeared. People were just cultivated rice and wheat. So before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, long before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 60 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's going to Radha Kund, 60-70 years before Madhavendra Puri, when he went there, there was nothing. As I said, only some cowherd folks living in some small communities, in some villages. So Madhavendra Puri appeared and he was there. He didn't expect that. He would, in the middle of the forest, what's he going to get? He was just lying down under a tree, maybe by the on the bank of Radha Kund, and that disappeared. But with his transcendental eyes, I'm sure Madhavendra Puri was seeing the Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. And so one cowherd boy came and gave him some milk. And Madhavendra Puri asked, "How did you know that I was here?" So he said, "When you were passing by, the ladies of the village saw you. And so they thought that you must be hungry and thirsty, so they sent me with this milk." But so saying that, the boy left. He said, "You drink the milk, I'll come and collect the lota, collect that pot, brass pot afterwards." And when Madhavendra Puri started to drink that milk, it didn't taste like from this world. The milk tasted as if it's from another world. It was so delicious. And so Madhavendra Puri drank that, and he kept that. After drinking, he washed the pot, kept it. The boy said that he would come. And he waited. The sun set. It became dark. Still the boy didn't come back. So that night when Madhavendra Puri fell asleep, he saw that Krishna came to him and told him that, "Look, I am here in that bush inside the, like that place has become a forest. I am just here. So you please rescue me. For a long time I didn't have anything to eat. No one treated me. No one bathed me. So I'm just lying there, so please rescue me." So due to the fear of the Muslims, the pujaris just kept me there and left. And I'm sitting there, standing there for so long. And a whole forest grew in that area. So please rescue me. So then Madhavendra Puri in the morning, he just called the villagers and told that that Krishna is there, so let's go and rescue. So the villagers, the Brajabasis, they have a natural faith in sadhus and Krishna. Otherwise normally people would say, oh, who are you? You have a dream. Why should you believe you? Why should you take the trouble of cleaning the forest? But they accepted, so they came with their axe and other equipments to cut the forest, and then they cleared the forest, made a way, and came inside, and they found that there is the deity of Krishna, Giridhari Gopal. Gopal with one hand lifted, left hand lifted, in the pose of holding the Govardhan. And that is the deity on top of Govardhan, and they bathed the deity. He didn't bathe for so many months, so many years. So they did the abhishek of the deity with hundreds of pots of water, and Gopal didn't eat for a long time. So the village people, they just collected all the ingredients and made a huge feast, and that was Annakoot. They actually made a mountain of food, and literally it means Annakoot means mountain of food. There's a beautiful description what they prepared and how they placed different things. At the bottom was chapatis as the base. Then there was puris and other such stuff. And then there rice cooked with ghee and then different other preparations were kept on the rice as if they were the trees. And then there was a fountain of ghee flowing from the top. And so in this way they arranged the Annakoot for Gopal, Giridhari Gopal, and in that was the first day. But then different village people got the news, and they came and started to organize. For many many days, they had this festival of Annakoot for Gopal. This Gopal deity has been taken to Nathdwara, and which is known as Srinath Ji. But actually this is the deity that Madhavendra Puri found, or the deity that appeared to Madhavendra Puri. Then Madhavendra Puri was worshipping Gopal. Then one day Gopal told him that, look, it's very hot here. So can you bring some sandalwood, make some paste out of sandalwood and camphor and smear it on my body so that I can feel relief from this heat. Now in Vrindavan we only find camphor and sandalwood. So Madhavendra Puri travelled all the way to Orissa, where there is, those days there was sandalwood available, Malai Hill, further south, which was actually the king, the province dominated by the king of Orissa. And he appealed to the king. So the king said, fine, you come and I will give you the... So he gave Madhavendra Puri the sandalwood and camphor. Now one very interesting thing happened while Madhavendra Puri was travelling to Orissa. On the way there is a temple of Gopinath in a place called Remuna. And Gopinath temple was famous for Gopinath's kheer. They had their special cows, and with those cows' milk they would make the kheer. And they say that there is no comparison. Nowhere you get that kind of kheer. And it's true actually. Still today, you can go to Remuna and get the taste of that kheer. And go anywhere where you have your cows, the special cows, and you make your kheer from there. It's not the same. Even today it's like that. I have seen that myself. In Mayapur we have our own cows, very special cows. The milk of the Mayapur cows is very special, and some cows' milk are very special, even more special. And when I go to Mayapur, they give me that cow's milk as a very special, because they're very special cows. Milk, very special taste, and I've seen that that cow's taste, milk is very, very special, has a very special taste. I told them to make kheer out of that. I have tasted the kheer in Vrindavan, but Ramuna's kheer, Gopinath's kheer, has an unusual taste. So, Madhavendra Puri, when he went to Ramuna, Gopinath temple, it was in the evening, and Madhavendra Puri felt that if I could get the taste of the kheer of Gopinath, it would have been so nice. Then I could have made the similar kind of kheer for Gopal. But then it occurred to him that the offering hasn't been completed to the Lord. The kheers haven't been offered to the Lord as yet, and he wanted to taste the have the taste of the kheer. So he became very, he felt very guilty. And he left the temple right away, out of guilt. And he went to the marketplace. Marketplace means, in India, the markets are just some huts. There is no permanent shops. And only on some days, on a week, people come with their commodities, and during the day they have this, they have their trading, they sell and buy, people come to buy, and then at night those places remain completely empty, no one lives there. But there is some small hutments, like just a shed is there, made of bamboos and straw. So Madhavendra Puri found such market near the temple, not too far away from the temple, and he just slept there to spend the night. Now that night, when the pujari went to sleep, Gopinath appeared to the pujari and told, look, wake up. I have a devotee of mine, Madhavendra Puri, is sleeping in such and such place, so you go and give him some kheer. The pujari said, all the kheer have been distributed, no kheer left. He said, no, no. Gopinath said, no, I keep some kheer for Madhavendra. And so he said, go to the temple and you'll see that behind my cloth there is one pot. Actually, and the pujari immediately took a bath and went to the temple room, and he found, true to the words of Gopinath, just behind his cloth there is one pot. Now nobody keeps a pot there, like all the pots are actually placed in front for the offering. So what actually happened is Gopinath stole one pot for Madhavendra Puri, and that's where, and the pujari immediately went and to the market, and it was dark, and it's a, he started to call out, Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, are you here? So Madhavendra Puri came out and he said, look, Gopinath sent you this kheer, pot of kheer. And Madhavendra Puri, then he narrated the whole story to Madhavendra Puri. Then Madhavendra Puri realized or felt that now everybody will get to know about this story and they all will come to him. And this may cause him, make him, this may make him famous. So he, out of fear of becoming famous, Madhavendra Puri left that place that night only. And he ate the kheer and he kept the pot and broke the pot, clay pot, into pieces, and every day he would just eat some of the clay pot as the prasad of Gopinath. And there is a saying that although Madhavendra Puri ran away from name and fame ran after him. That is the Vaishnavs. Vaishnav doesn't want name and fame. He runs away from name and fame, but name and fame runs after him. As a result of that, hundreds of years, 500 years after, 500-600 years after, still today, Madhavendra Puri's glory is being sung all over the world. And now Madhavendra Puri then went to Jagannath Puri and he got the sandalwood, a big bundle of sandalwood the king gave, and camphor. Now Madhavendra Puri couldn't travel carrying all those stuffs himself. So the king gave two men with him to carry the sandalwood and the camphor for Gopal. So on the way back, Madhavendra Puri again stopped in Gopinath. So that night, Gopinath appeared to him in a dream. Gopal appeared to him in a dream. Said the Madhavendra, you just make the sandalwood pulp and the sandalwood paste and mix it with camphor and smear it in the body of Gopinath, because there is no difference between me and Gopinath. So if you put the camphor and sandalwood paste in Gopinath's body, then my body will become cool in the summer. So Madhavendra Puri therefore stayed there for one whole month and applied the sandalwood and camphor in the body of Gopinath. So Madhavendra Puri is the first personality who actually revealed Braja Prem to this world, the mystery, a secret of Braja Prem to this world, which had been magnified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and eventually distributed all over the world by Srila Prabhupada. And although apparently we just do chant and dance and in Sankirtan and distribute books and all, but underneath that there is a treasure of Krishna Prema. And that treasure has been revealed by Madhavendra Puri for the first time. And in this way, Madhavendra Puri was traveling and he initiated some very, very stalwart devotees of Krishna. Like, he not only initiated Ishar Puri, he also initiated Advaita Acharya. It is said that Nityananda Prabhu also came across Madhavendra Puri and got initiated by him. Like, Nityananda Prabhu actually narrated the story of Kirchar Gopinath, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and after Sannas, was traveling with Nityananda Prabhu and others towards Jagannath Puri. And so today is also, okay, I have about another 5 minutes. So today is also the appearance day of Srila Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya is another very, very exalted associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did not actually have any direct contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born as the blessing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon his parents. His parents wanted to have a son, and they approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took his permit and asked for his blessing, and Mahaprabhu gave them his blessing, and as a result of that, at an old age, they got this son. And already his father was known as Chaitanya Das. That was not his actual name, but he heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father, and he wanted to go to meet Sri Chaitanya, see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was traveling towards Navadvip. And on the way he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Kantak Nagar, Katwa. And he said, oh, I'm so fortunate. Like I don't have to go, I didn't have to go all the way to Navadvip. On just in Katwai, Mahaprabhu is here, I'll get his darshan. And he found that many, many people were traveling there, and that's how he found out. So he asked, then when he went there, then he found that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to take sannyas. His beautiful long curly hair was shaven by a barber, Madhupan Madhunapit, a Madhu barber. And that barber, the way he shaved his head, he didn't use any soap or oil or all water. The tears that were flowing from his eyes, that soaked the hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He didn't want to shave his head. Mahaprabhu insisted, look, I'm telling you that you have to. Somebody has to do it, so better you do it. And with tears flowing from his eyes that soaked Mahaprabhu's head, in that way he shaved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sannyas is actually a very painful thing for others. Sannyas means death. When they would take sannyas, nobody would get to see them again. They would just leave. And like for example, Mahaprabhu's elder brother, he just left. And nobody ever got to see him. Like that's why Sachimata was so upset when she got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also thinking of taking sannyas. Vishwarup took sannyas when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little boy, and he left home and went away. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, decided that by learning, one becomes detached from material attachments and becomes a sannyasi. So let Nimai not learn anything. Let him not go to school, not to study. Because if he studies, then he'll also become a sannyasi. So that's why they stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from going to the guru school, Gurukul. And anyway, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, and seeing that sight, this person was so heartbroken that he became mad. All the time he was crying and he was calling out, "Chaitanya, Chaitanya, where are you? Where did you go?" And from that, everybody started to call him Chaitanya Das. He got a name, Chaitanya Das. So he got the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went and met him in Jagannath, that he would get a very special son. So that son was Srinivas, who later on became Srinivas Acharya. And Srinivas Acharya did not meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his dream was to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he actually started to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Jagannath Puri, but on the way he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet. And he actually wanted to give up his body entering into fire. But when he was about to enter into fire, Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told him, "Don't worry, I will always reside in your heart." And in this way, Mahaprabhu blessed him. Thank you very much.